Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Tree of Life Church podcast. It's our prayer that these messages help connect you to the life, love, and power of Jesus.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for your presence in this room, God. And I pray that there is something that is said today that will help to change the trajectory of someone's life. God, I pray that you speak to me and you speak through me. Our hearts are open to receive what you would have to say today, Father, and we believe that we're going to leave this place different. In your son Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 I want to talk today and continue in our series. Well, actually, it's a one-off message, but Pastor Don, over the last couple weeks, did our goal message, our goal series. And in that particular series, he talks about generosity and what it looks like for us to be generous. And then he talks about the opportunity. And he gave this equation that generosity plus opportunity is destiny. And that's what we come up with, the God, you know, generosity, opportunity, destiny. And we were talking in our pastor's meeting, and he mentioned how he wanted to talk about unity. He wanted to talk about us coming together, and that was one of the reasons that we did our unity prayer walk yesterday, and for us to come together. And as we talked about this message, he gave the illustration of the water basins. And he talked about when we take this water basin and we take the water, it's representative of when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples right before he was crucified, before the Lord's Supper. And then he talked about hours later, and that was Jesus when he took this water basin and washed the disciples' feet. It was Jesus saying that he was taking responsibility for his disciples. And then a few hours later, Pilate gets up and he washes his hands, and it was him absolving himself of responsibility for Jesus. And so he told us over the last couple of weeks that we have an opportunity every day that we walk around with this water basin. Hopefully you don't actually walk around with a water basin and ask somebody to wash their feet. That would be pretty weird. But in a sense, we walk around and we have an opportunity to either take responsibility for others or free ourselves of responsibility of others. And he asked us this question, which will you decide? But we believe that God is asking us to take responsibility for other people. And we see this in John chapter 13, verse 12 through 15. It says that when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He said, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." He says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus is saying, "I took responsibility for you, disciples, and now I'm asking you to go out and take responsibility for others." He says, "You call me Lord. You call me teacher. You see me in this position of authority over your life, but yet and still I get down on my knee and I wash your feet, and I'm asking you to do the same." What Jesus is saying is your title doesn't matter. What Jesus is saying is your bank account doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much zeros you got behind that decimal or before that decimal. He don't care. If you got a whole bunch of zeros behind your decimal, you're in trouble. He says, "I don't care how much money you have in your bank. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter whether you've been a believer for 3 days or you've been a believer for 3 years. It does not matter." And look, he also said, it doesn't matter whose feet you are washing, because Jesus knew that he had someone in his circle that was going to betray him. Yet and still, he got down and washed his feet. He says, it doesn't matter if they've hurt you. It doesn't matter if they're going to or if they have betrayed you. You still have a responsibility to take for others. Jesus is asking us to take responsibility for other people. And then Paul comes around and he says it this way in Galatians chapter 6. He says, "Carry each other's burdens." Carry each other's, not your own. See, we want to just carry our own burdens. And some people say, "Look, my burdens are enough. I don't need to carry nobody else's stuff." But what happens when you have a mindset to carry someone else's burdens? And they have a mindset to carry someone else's burdens. What ends up happening is nobody carries anything alone. When you may feel like you're carrying your own stuff, there is somebody else who has a care for you. And when you care for someone else, then we all end up carrying one another's burdens. And he says, when we do that, that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that what we're here for? Aren't we here to fulfill the law of Christ? When Jesus came, he says, listen, I'm going to give you two new commandments. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, everything that's on the inside of you. He says, that's the greatest commandment. He says, and then I'm going to give you another one. Love other people like you love yourself. That's the law of Christ. And when we carry one another's burdens, he says, we fulfill the law of Christ. We've got to take responsibility for other people. Now, I'm not telling you to go and pay somebody's bills, but if God leads you to do that, then do it. And if he whispers my name, it's not the enemy, it's him. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Like, if you feel so inclined, carry one another's burdens. And see, what happens, and this is why we've given you these go-cards. Because we're asking you, Pastor Don is asking you to serve here because he's asking you to carry someone else's burdens. Listen, you don't know what a parent may, what a single mother may be going through. Man, I'm going to talk to a man right now. You don't know what a single mother may be going through, and she may need the presence of a father figure in her child's life. And when you go and you serve over in Tree Kids, or you go and you serve over in Tree Students, you're helping carry her burden. And when you help carry her burden, now we're fulfilling the law of Christ. That's why we ask you to serve. That's why we ask you to give your supply. It's not just because we want to fill a spot. It's because we want to help carry one another's burdens. That's how we fulfill the law of Christ. Can somebody say amen today? Amen. What happens when we do this? We end up having this mindset. We end up having this feeling, this desire to walk alongside of other people. You know, it's easy to walk alongside of someone you know cares for you. It's easy to walk alongside someone when you know that they have your best interests at heart. You know, I find it easy to walk with Pastor Jessamy and Pastor Don because I know without a shadow of a doubt that my pastors love me. Not for what I can do, but they love me and they love my family and they love my kids. It makes it easy for me to walk alongside. Am I going to agree with everything they do or say? Absolutely not. And we're not expecting you to. But I can still walk with them because I know that they care. I can still walk alongside them because I know that they care and that they are desiring to help carry my burdens. And so when I went through a tough time in my life last year, my pastors came alongside of me and they helped carry my burden. That's fulfilling the law of Christ. We all have that opportunity. We all have that chance. We all have that. We should have that desire in our heart to allow someone else's need to become your need. Amen. You know, we always have people in our lives to say, man, if you need anything, give me a call. And then when you need something, you call them and they don't answer. Or they leave you on read. That's why I turned that status message off on my iPhone, because I don't want nobody knowing that I read their message. I saw this post on Facebook and I put it out as well, like, because it's totally me. If you send me a message and I don't respond, it's not all the time that I'm just ignoring you. It means that I was actually doing something at the time. And I said, you know what? When I finish, I'm going to reach out to him. And then I totally forgot about it until 3 days down the line when I had to send you a message about something totally unrelated. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't respond to that first message. I'm sorry. It's just, is that happened to anybody else or is that just me? We're not ignoring you. We literally had every intention to message you back. We just forgot. When someone else's need becomes your need, that's when we walk in unity. I've got a friend, and I saw him earlier. Here, he's sitting over there. Nick Moxley. I call him Big Mox. And Big Mox and I have been friends for years, probably about 10, 11 years. But every single time that I talk to Mox, and he calls me Big Dog, and I don't understand why he calls me Big Dog. But every single time we talk via text or via phone, before he gets off of the text, before he gets off the phone, he ends every conversation. He says, hey, big dog, if you need anything, let me know. If you need anything, give me a holler. Now, I've had many people say that before, but I know that this man, anytime he says, if you need anything, give me a holler, he means it. Because when I've called him when I needed something, Mox shows up. When I called him and I needed something at the very last minute, when all of the people that were supposed to help me move just ran out and nobody was there to help me move, and I had to call him and say, hey, bro, I have nobody and I need some help. Can you help me? Yeah, man, give me about 30 minutes and I'll be there. He dropped everything he could to come and help me. You ever have people when you ask them to help you move and then all of a sudden, I hurt my back the other day. And they come walking around like this, like, man, stop faking. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You just ain't want to help me move that couch. But Mox is one that I know when I need him, I can call. And that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. That when someone says, I have a need, you step in and help fill that need. That's fulfilling the law of Christ. That's carrying one another's burdens. Now, some people have a need all the time. And that's okay too. But that breeds unity. And that's what we're talking about today, the power of unity. There is so much power in unity. In Acts chapter 2, it says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Remember that. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone, look at that, who had need. There was no one in this community that had need because everyone cared for each other. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's church. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. That's small groups. That's getting together and having community. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And look at what happened when unity was in the room. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's power in unity, you guys. There's power when we come together. We're not just asking you to be a part of a small group just to be a part of a small group. It's because there's power in unity. It's because there's something that happens when we get together in harmony and in unity. And see, what you'll notice in this group is that there was no one who was less than. Even the people that had more money than those that didn't have much, they still cared for each other. Everything, everyone had everything in common. It wasn't about them walking around and say, well, I got a little bit more money than you. No, we all had everything in common. And when we walk in unity, everyone matters. When we walk in unity, everything matters. It doesn't matter your gift. It all matters when we come together in unity. See, Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, God, Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. See, what you have to understand is that your part may not look like my part, and that's okay. Your part is never going to look like my part, and my part may be here on this stage, but your part may be out there in the parking lot greeting a first-time guest who's never been in a church before, and maybe that was you, and that person that greeted you out in the parking lot is just as important as I am standing on this stage. In fact, they're probably more important because they were the first place person that you saw when you walked here. They were the first person that showed you that God's compassion is here, that God's love is here, that God is welcoming you into this place when you were out there. So they're more important than I am in a sense, but it does not matter the gift that you have. Everybody has a part. And when we all bring our part together, look what it says. It says it helps the other parts grow. So when you focus on bringing your part, it not only helps you to grow yourself, but it helps to grow the other parts. And so now the other part is growing. And ultimately what happens, it causes the whole body to grow and to be healthy. And that's what we want to see. We want to see the whole body growing. We want to see the whole body healthy. And that only happens when we come in unity and you bring your part and I bring my part And that person over there brings their part, and we're gonna all grow together, and we're gonna watch God do some amazing things because Christ is in unity. Pastor Don started this year off. He said, this year is gonna be the most fruitful year that we've had. We're gonna bear fruit this year. And here's what I believe when it comes to unity. Number one, unity is the key to fruitfulness. If we're gonna see fruitfulness, it's gonna take us being in unity. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 18. He says, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth walk in unity, if two believers on earth get in agreement, that is, are of one mind, in harmony about anything, say anything. Anything they ask, he says, that's when you're gonna see fruitfulness. When you come together in unity and we agree together, we start to see us bearing fruit. And not just any kind of fruit. I'm talking about fruit that remains, as the Bible says it. When we get together in unity, we see God do some amazing things. Now, what I'm not saying is I'm not saying that we've got to be the same, because there's a difference between sameness and oneness. I'm not saying that we have to walk and be the same, but we can walk and be one. See, my wife and I, we're not the same, and I know she praises God for that every day. And she actually is so amazing, and she makes me, y'all think I'm good, that woman right there. Like, I'm good because she's good. She makes me look good. And so we're not saying that we have to be the same, but I'm saying that we have to be one. I want you to be different. Listen, I know that you might have a good heart when you say, I don't see color, but I want you to see color. I want you to see my color, because God made me unique this way. And I'm gonna acknowledge how God made you. He made you unique in how he made you, because when he brings my blackness and he brings your whiteness or your brownness or wherever, when he brings us all together and we come together in unity, that's when we see the power of God coming. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. You may have money and I don't, but it doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. But when we all come together and we all come together in unity, that's where the power lies. Us getting in agreement and us getting in unity. Here's why. Number two, because unity is important to the Father. Unity is important to Jesus. Watch what Jesus says in John chapter 17. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I'm not just praying for my disciples that you've given me, God, but I'm praying also for those who will believe in me through their message. Do you know that before you breathe your first breath, Jesus had already prayed for you? You're here in this room because Jesus prayed for you before you even knew enough to pray for yourself. He had already prayed for you. And in this moment, he says, I'm not praying for my disciples alone, God. I'm praying for those that would believe in me. Watch this. He says that all of them may be one. I want them all to come together in unity, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete, there's that word, unity. Then, and only then, when they come together in unity, look what he says. He says, the world will know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have loved them, even as you have loved me. That's why it's important to God. That's why it's important to Jesus. Number three, because unity is the proof of God's love. When we walk in together in unity, it proves to the world that not only God loves you, but God loves them. And I know we know John 3:16, that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, but we can't prove that to them if we're not walking in unity. We can't prove that to the world if we're not walking together. He says this in John 17 in the Message paraphrase. He says, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness. Watch this. He says, and give this godless world evidence, proof that you've sent me and loved them in the same way that you loved me. Our unity is evidence and proof to the world that Jesus was sent. So could it be that the world's lack of belief in Jesus is because of the disunity in the church? Could it be that it's hard for us to win those for Christ because we can't even come together in unity? Because they're on the outside saying, y'all can't even agree on politics and you want me to come in and come to your church? And we're not asking you to agree on politics because it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter what color you are. None of that matters. We can still walk together in unity. But the enemy wants to divide us. Martin Luther King said it this way. He said, 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. Because everybody's going to their own church with their own people, with their own belief system. Everybody is separating and segregating themselves at 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Wow. When God wants us to come together and be one, we separate. You know, when I was growing up in Detroit, on every single corner, and this is no exaggeration, on every single corner, there was a church, there was a gas station, and a liquor store. On every corner. And it might be the same where you're from, too. And what I noticed is that every single block, no exaggeration, on every block, there was a church on every corner. Literally. You can go a mile down one street, and you'll probably drive by 20 churches. I believe that that's a problem. Here's what I believe that's a problem. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't call those people to be pastors. I'm not saying that at all. But I know that there could be some that got in disunity when they were in the church. And they didn't agree with what that pastor was doing. And they said, well, I'm just going to go out and start my own thing. And so now they go out and start their own thing. And now everybody's doing their own thing instead of us doing his thing. And so we got all of these churches and all of this division, and people don't understand that it's not you and I, it's the enemy that is coming in. And we don't have to agree on everything and walk in unity. You may not agree with tithing, and I do, but we can still do it, walk in unity. You may agree, you may think that the world is flat, and I think the world is round, but we can still walk in unity. You may think that one thing is sin and I don't. And you may think that this thing is sin and I think it is. Or you're not sin and I think it is. We could still walk together in unity. Sometimes we major too much on the minor things. We major and we focus on the things that don't matter. Listen, if you and I both agree that Jesus came to this earth and we both agree that he died and he got back up, then we can do some amazing things for the kingdom of God. All the other stuff, we'll let that figure itself out. But if we can agree on this one thing, that Jesus came, he died, and he saved you just like he saved me, then we can do some amazing things for the kingdom of God. We can walk in unity then, because one of the greatest messages that we could ever preach is our unity. One of the greatest messages we could ever preach is our unity. So there's no surprise that the enemy is trying to divide the church. There's no surprise. And here we are. This year, we're coming up on an election year. And everybody's going to go out and vote. And I'm not telling you not to vote. Go vote, everybody. And Pastor Don gets up here on the stage and he says, listen, go out and vote. And aren't you glad that we have a pastor that doesn't push a political agenda, but pushes the kingdom agenda? And he always says, I'm not gonna get up and use my platform for political. I'm gonna get up and use my platform for the biblical and help push that. And that's what we're gonna push. So go out there and vote. But what I will tell you is don't allow the enemy to come into your heart and cause division because somebody at your church is believing this thing and somebody at your church is believing that thing, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get in disunity. Why? Because number four, unity is the enemy of the enemy. He wants us to separate. He has a problem when we come together and we get unified. And so he tries to destroy the unity between you and your father. He did it in the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned, he caused a disruption in unity between the relationship with man and the relationship with God. And he tried to do the same thing with Jesus in the wilderness when he came to tempt him. He wanted to call a disruption in the unity between Jesus and his father. And so he does the same thing with us every single day. He does the same thing in your marriage at home. He does it in the church. He does it on your job. He does it everywhere. He wants to cause division. And Jesus knew that. That's why he told Peter this in Luke chapter 22. He says, Peter, Simon, Satan is asking to sift, not just you, but all of you as wheat. He wants to separate each and every one of you. He wants to divide us. He wants to separate us by focusing on things that don't matter. And if he can separate us, then the power that's in unity he has calls to cease. He desires to sift you as wheat. And then he goes on to say, I know that it's going to happen, but what I want you to know is that I've prayed for you. I want you to know that I've already interceded on your behalf, that your faith will not fail. Yeah, you might walk away, but your faith won't fail. Yeah, you might give up and quit for a moment, but your faith won't fail. And when you return, because you're going to come back, build somebody else up. Strengthen somebody else that has also fallen away as well. Unity is the enemy of the enemy. I wrote this down. If the enemy can divide us, he's won. And when he starts to divide us, he gets us to start fighting against each other. He gets offense to start taking root in our hearts because of something that somebody said, because somebody took your seat. And now you got to sit two rows back because, and that's probably some here, somebody here today, like, he talking to me today. And then a fence sets up. He's like, you know, I sit in that seat every single Sunday. And you see me sit in that seat because you talk to me. And then you're going to go and you're going to take my seat. Don't let the enemy divide you. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 3. He says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot, it has no ability to stand if it becomes divided in itself. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Listen, you might be struggling in your marriage right now because the enemy has come in to divide. And if you allow him to continue to divide, your house will not stand. Paul said it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I appeal to you, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say. And look at this, he says, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Because Paul understood how much power was in unity. He says, listen, don't let anything divide you. Don't allow any divisions to come in amongst you, because the person that you're fighting against is not the person you're looking at. So that's why he tells the people in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling and fighting against the person next to you. It's not your wife that you're upset with. It's the enemy coming in to try to cause division. It's not your boss that you're upset with. It's the enemy coming in to try to cause division. It's not that person on your serve team that you're offended by. It's the enemy trying to come in and cause division. And you and I have to recognize that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul knew that. And the enemy knows that as well. He knows that if he can divide you, he can take away the power that we have. He also knows, number five, that unity brings the anointing and blessing. The anointing falls when there is unity. In Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in what? Unity. He says, it's like precious oil poured on the head. That's anointing. Running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. And watch this. He says, for there in unity, the Lord bestows his blessing. Even life forevermore. There's anointing that falls in the room when unity is present. There's an anointing that's there when unity is in present. Why? Because number six, unity is an invitation to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit sees unity, he says, okay, now I can show up. Now I can do something in that room. In Acts chapter 2, we see it. It said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in unity, in one place, and with one on accord. And then suddenly it said, when unity was in the room, a sound came from heaven, and it was like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were. Because unity showed up. We're going to see God do some amazing things in our church when unity is present. You want to see the power of God in the church? You want to see the power of God in your house? Get in unity. You want to see miracles start happening like crazy? You want to see cancer start drying up? You want to see people start getting up out of wheelchairs? Let's get together in unity. You want to see people that were broke, now they rich? Listen, let's get together in unity. Suddenly, when unity was present, the Holy Spirit showed up. And that word, when it talks about in one accord, that's a Greek word that they put two words together. And it's this picture, almost a picture of a musical picture. And it's like, if you're looking at the worship team, you see one person over here singing one note, and this person over here singing another note, and this person singing another note. Everybody's singing something different, but when it comes together, it's harmony. When it comes together, it sounds beautiful. So your gift doesn't have to look like my gift, and that's okay. Your gift doesn't have to look like my gift, and that's okay. It doesn't matter if you were delivered from drugs, and this person was delivered from prison, and this person was delivered from lust and pornography, and this person was delivered from backbiting and anger, and this person was delivered from being drunken, and this person was delivered from cussing and telling people off. It doesn't matter, because when we all come together and we bring our gifts and we bring our mess and we bring our weaknesses and we get together in unity, then the presence of God comes in. Then the Holy Spirit comes in, because we're all in unity. That's why we can't look at people who sin differently than us. Did you catch that? I didn't say that they sin and we don't. I said they sin differently than you do. Because the Bible says that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory. So you don't make somebody feel bad because their sin looks different than yours, because their dirt looks different than yours, then your mess looks different. Listen, your sin and my sin, it all looks bad in God's eyes. Yeah, you may not have committed adultery, but you're angry all the time. We come together in unity. The power and the presence of God comes in. Unity invites the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Don asks us, can you commit to walking in unity for 1 year? What could we do if we just commit for the rest of this year to walk together in unity? What could God do through us as a church? What could God do through you individually, us individually, if we just came together in unity? I'd like to believe we'll see some amazing things, things that we've never experienced before. I like to believe that God can do some supernatural things. He says, that's a church that I can move in, because they don't care about themselves. They're looking to carry someone else's burden. When we come together in unity, there's power. When we come together in unity, we give access to the Holy Spirit.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We pray that this message encouraged and inspired you. If you want to find out how you can be a part of Tree of Life, just go to our website, treeoflifechurch.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend.